Hello, hello, hello. Side B Radio, the podcast. My name is Stephanie Walsh. This is my show. You just heard Talk Fine singing my song. And you guys, this week I'm doing a rewind because I didn't book a new guest. And I decided to revisit my interview with Theo Katzman from March of 2013. And honestly, it's kind of fascinating to hear where he was then and how far he's come now. Like, it's mind-blowing. And obviously, I'm going to have to catch up with Theo on the show in real time, you know, at some point, and, like, do an updated interview with the man. Which, we actually talked about that back in March when I saw him in Brooklyn. Yeah, listening to this interview. So, the interview was done live on the air, like, back when Side B Radio was a live show, and I had a chat room and everything. And, it's funny because, like, some of the questions come from the chat room, and unfortunately you can hear me typing once in a while he's talking, which, I mean, it's not super distracting, but since I'm ripping it from, like, an old YouTube video, it's not really much I can do about, like, separating the tracks or anything like that. However, I did amplify his audio, so if you watch the YouTube channel interview ever, he's really low in the sound. And so for this, I fixed it so you can actually hear us talking at a normal level, which is cool. But also, he sang live on the show, so I have a live version of Brooklyn, one of his first big songs off of Romance Without Finance, and he performed that live during this interview. So it's awesome. This is a really fun interview. We talked about, like, some of his musical influences, and it's just really interesting to hear him, like, he's talking about, like, worrying about, you know, selling out Rockwood Music Hall, which is a very small cabaret bar in New York City. And, like, you know, he sells out really big shows, like Wolfpack sold out Madison Square Garden. So, it was only 7 years ago. But it's really cool to kind of, like, go back to this time capsule of Theo Katzman's career and hear where his head was then. Knowing what he would become. I mean, obviously he didn't know, but looking back from this perspective, it's kind of crazy. Theo's a wonderful guy, and if you don't know, and if, like, you haven't really heard him interact or anything, or if you haven't had the opportunity to interact with him, this interview will give you a little insight into the man. We talked about Justin Timberlake at one point. He made, like, NSYNC puns. It's a good time. So I'm gonna get into the interview. It's just under 40 minutes long, and then I'll come back, you know, and tell you what's good, I guess. So please enjoy this interview from March of 2013 with Theo Katzman. Nice. For the folks who are not able to listen right now.
All right.
If you want to see the chat room, I'll type you a link. They're all freaking out that you're on the air right now.
Oh, fun.
So let me give you the chat room.
Don't freak out too hard. It's gonna be alright.
Dude, Theo just played an original song for you guys on Side B Radio.
Side B Radio.
Awesome. So you have been really busy the past couple months.
I've been doing a lot of different things, and I always am busy, but trying to work on being less busy because I have a busy problem, like many people out there in a capitalism world out there, right?
Absolutely. So what's been going on? I know you've been spending a lot of time in LA. Can we talk about what you've been doing out there?
Well, yeah, mostly just writing for myself, and I've got a lot of friends out there. You know, I've got Joey Dossick out there. He's, I don't know if you guys know Joey Dossick, but he is a total G when it comes to songwriting, and he's a good friend of mine. We've been trying to keep up a lot of collaborations, so a few months back, also Jack Stratton moved out to L.A., which is a big asset to Los Angeles because Jack is another genius who I love working with. So I went out to L.A. to do some bunch of work with them, and I also... we did the Wolfpack album, the most recent one, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's an instrumental band that I have with Jack Stratton. So it's a great scene out there. It's like a lot of stuff happening, a lot of music, a lot of recording, which I've been trying to do, production work. I did a little bit of stuff with Alex Johnson, who's another singer-songwriter. And yeah, so just I've been very, very busy doing all that stuff, but trying to do all that and still do my music. So I should have some new songs in the world in the next little while here. So that's what I'm working on.
That's awesome. I can't wait till you have some new music.
Yeah.
You have some shows coming up.
Just not ready.
Well, I can't wait till we get to hear the new music.
Okay. That's good.
Okay.
I can't wait too.
You have some shows coming up. Yes. Want to talk about those real quick?
Sure, yeah. I'm playing next Thursday in New York City at Rockwood Music Hall. And unfortunately, that is 21 and up only because they want your drink money and they're going to get it. So, no, it's actually, it's 21 and up. That was a bad joke, but.
Yeah, there's some law. I know there's some law about the bars scene, like after a certain time in New York, so.
Yeah, it's hard to get an all ages show in the city. You can do it. I've done it before. We did it once at Mercury Lounge during the day on a Saturday, but, you know, I've been lucky enough to be added to the Rockwood calendar on a sort of regular basis now, so I'm trying to make sure that I maintain that. It's one of my favorite venues. I wish you guys could, not that all of you are under 21, because I'm definitely not assuming that, but if anyone is, and you live in the New York area, unfortunately, shows 21 and up. But let's talk about the positive side of things, which is that we'll be playing next Thursday. Joey Dossick will be in town. Hannah Winkler will be on that bill as well. She's got a new album that's almost finished, which I'm co-producing. And so that was another one of the projects I've been working on. Also, the following week, so I'm doing 3 Thursdays in a row. Next Thursday in New York City, the following Thursday in San Francisco, and then the following Thursday in Los Angeles. Both the San Fran and LA shows are all ages. So if you wanted to go to those and you were under 21, you could do that.
Awesome.
That's the 21st and the 28th, California.
Yes. Okay, right. So you've got the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm so bummed that I'm going to miss your show here. I'm going to be in West Palm, so.
That's pretty rad, though.
Yeah, I'm going to visit family. This is about you, though. Let's screw my family. Let's talk about your music. Are there going to be any new songs that you're performing at these shows?
I'm working on that. I've got a bunch of stuff that's like almost finished, and if I can finish, I'm shooting to have some new material. Also, I have a bunch of guests on. Next Thursday at Rockwood, I have a horn section joining me for some of the songs, and sorry, Steph. But yeah, it's gonna be a great show. I also got Caleb Holly playing guitar. He's another one of my heroes. So it's gonna be a really full band. Joe Dart on bass, coming in from Michigan. It's gonna be really good.
That's great. I hope that you have somebody to film it.
I do too. Comedy filmers.
We'll have to see if anybody listening has a camera that can be at the Rockwood show.
Yeah. That would be sweet. If you do a phone thing, I can, you know, post my favorite or something like that.
There you go.
That was fun.
Make it a contest. Like, the best video is going to get shout outs from Theo.
You're going to get nothing because I have nothing to give.
Autographs are important.
Okay, autographs.
There you go. Cool. So the chat room is asking if you have any plans to do like a bigger tour type thing.
I don't right now because I'm mostly doing writing and recording, and it's pretty much one or the other in this business, unless you get to the Little Wayne level where you can bring your studio in your car your mega bus.
Yeah.
Even then, it's probably pretty hard. It's just two different organizational sort of mindsets, and also the lot to go on tour properly. But I do want to do more touring in the next year, and sort of setting that up as we speak. But for now, it's mostly going to be these kinds of shows, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and the Midwest, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Chicago. I'll be having a few festivals in Michigan, hopefully, this summer. So yeah, the summer dates will be peppered here and there, and then hopefully once I have my next album out, I can do some real touring and whatnot.
I have some people from Toronto in the chat room who are saying they can help you set stuff up there if you're interested.
I love Toronto. The Common? Are you hip to The Common in Toronto? That's the spot. That's the coffee spot.
They probably know it.
Fluorocord Village.
So is there a place that they could message you for details on that?
I can't go to Toronto at the moment. I'm sorry, everyone. Anyone. I'm sorry, anyone from Toronto. I don't have the above capacity situation filling thing yet. But I promise when I do a real tour, I will do Toronto. And you can always contact me through my website, which is theocaspin.com. And I do keep up with Twitter and Facebook, and I have noticed that there's been some good energy coming from Toronto. I definitely want to play there one day. You guys are awesome, and I love your city. So it'll happen one day.
Cool. Well, thanks for letting them know. If you could have a collaboration with anybody, who is your dream person to work with?
Wow. Alive or dead?
Either,
Let's go with alive, because it's easier. the dead. It's
probably true, right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'd love to, this is an interesting question, because, someone recently pointed out to me that you don't know if the person that you're dreaming of collaborating with would actually be a good fit for you. could have been more productive to just collaborate with Mom on that record. You never know, you know?
True.
But I would love to, I've always dreamed of working with Steve Jordan. He's drummer and producer. He's one of my favorite producers and drummers. Always been a hero of mine, and I actually got to meet him a few years ago, and he was awesome guy. He inspired me in our conversation, and John Mayer has gotten to work with him, which is very lucky for John Mayer, and you may have heard him on the John Mayer album Continuum, which he produced. Yeah, love Steve Jordan all the way.
They keep asking me to talk to you about Justin Timberlake.
I love Justin Timberlake. Is this okay? I've heard people don't like Justin Timberlake. I can't help it. It's just so good. It's like one of those things that you ever have a moment where you know you can't deny something? Those are such good moments, you know?
I have mixed feelings on Justin, but I can't deny how talented he is.
So, I don't really know much about Justin, and I'm not sure I know what the pop, you know, opinion is. I has he ever done anything weird or questionable or
I think that the people who, I don't follow enough of him right now to know if he's, like, if there's a reason he may be, like, slightly controversial or something. I can't forgive him for the whole NSYNC breakup. That's why.
So wait a minute. Did he start that?
Oh yeah.
But didn't Lou Pearlman go to jail forever?
That had nothing to do with their breakup though. Like Justin went solo, and that's what, like, the band is no more because Justin went solo.
Right. Well, I mean, of all the people who were NSYNC, Justin Timberlake's the one still making music and making movies, and I know that a lot of those guys are probably doing things too, but it seems like he had some impulse to do that, you know? I mean, it's hard to step away from something.
Yeah, and you know, it was probably a good move for him at the time, because how long are you going to be a boy band? But
yeah,
it just
it's just tearing up your heart.
It is, and they're gone. And you know,
I feel it too. But yeah,
yeah, that just happened, guys.
But I'll tell you what, I think it's just that I like seeing people make fearless music, and call me crazy, but like I feel that Justin Timberlake has had a lot of pressure on him to make like the greatest music in the world, and I think a lot of people are disappointed. You know, I've heard some people be disappointed because they're like, this isn't as good as the last thing, but his new music has really grown on me, and I think like it's just great to see somebody do their thing for no other reason than to just do it. I mean, he doesn't have to make any more music. It's not like he needs the notoriety or the money, you know. I think he just wanted to make this music, and it's a pretty creative statement, I think. And I love the song Mirrors. I love it.
Well, I think that people do just, they have these expectations because everything he does is so quality. So,
yeah.
And it'll probably grow on you. You know what I mean? Like, the first time you hear it, you're probably like, oh, this isn't like what it used to be. But listen to it a couple more times, and you're bobbing your head, and it's fine.
Yeah. So. It's hard to change your sound, and it's inevitable that your sound will change. So it's one of the catch-22s of music. You hope that if you have, you know, fans who are really into what you, like, they want to hear what you have to say, then... You know, then you hope you can release your new music and that will be received. I think when you get to that level of you're reaching so many people, it's that much harder to get everyone on board, you know?
Yeah, but I'm sure he's not hurting for anything. And he's going to be on SNL again this weekend, so that's always a good time.
Really cool, really cool.
I did have a question sent to me on Tumblr.
Okay.
That was about... You mentioned your father played with on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah, that's true.
So they wanted to know how having your dad be a musician influenced you.
It's a good question. I think my dad has influenced me probably more than any other person in terms of my music. And, you know, my life, my mom and dad both have influenced me greatly in my life and as a musician, but... And my mom is actually the daughter of two classical musicians. So music idea and feeling runs very deep in my family. And I know that, you know, my dad's kind of like my hero in terms of he was a guy who was really one of the, you know, examples of the studio musician in Los Angeles during the heyday of the big band era and when commercial music was really requiring, you know, that there be trumpet players. He's a trumpet player. You know, trumpet players in the studios, you know, every morning at 9 a.m. cranking out music, and it's been a really, he's just an inspiring dude. He's also just a really, like, hilarious, passionate, really, really passionate guy. So I think, yeah, as far as like having a father who had a lot of crazy stories to tell about music and the entertainment business at large, it was amazing. And lots of history there that a lot of people, you know, don't ever get to hear about because it's like the sidelines, you know what I mean? So I've got a lot of reverence for that history, and that's definitely influenced me in a lot of ways, but mainly my dad has always just said, do your thing, man. Do your thing. Don't worry about jazz. Don't worry about, you know, any of this other stuff that I did. Just do your thing, man. So that's been the best part of it.
What do you think your thing is? Like, how would you describe your style?
That's a good question.
I try.
So hard to find out those answers. I don't know. My thing is changing, I think. And, you know, I'm trying to connect a little more with whatever feels natural musically for me, and I've been doing so much work for other artists and writing with other people that I've learned a lot in the last year about the process, you know, and I'm really excited to have another album, because I think it's gonna show a little more of what I really am in terms of as an artist, as opposed to my first one, which I love and I'm very proud of, but like any statement, it only represents what it represents, right?
Right.
And I'm not going to repeat that again. I'm going to do something different. And I think there will be enough of a through line, you know, to have it feel like me. But I think maybe that question will be better answered once we can hear more of my music, myself included, so I can go, well, my thing kind of is, you know? Because at this point, my thing has been, I guess I love lyrics, you know? I really want to get deeper into that.
Mm-hmm.
I love hip-hop. And I, you know, maybe I'll make a hip hop album. That's right. Balding Beardo over here is going to make a hip hop album.
You know what? I'd like to hear that.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see, you know.
Do you like doing the behind the scenes stuff? You've been producing for people and things like that. Do you hope to do more of that?
I do. Yeah. I like wearing both of those hats. I think it's fair. I don't know that I have what it takes to just be an artist, which is to say just do Theo Katzman all the time, you know? I like to collaborate. I'm a drummer. I play guitar. I play bass. I like arranging. I'm really a musician, you know? I mean, I'm a songwriter at heart, but I'm also a musician at heart. I'm like a player and a instrumentalist, so I like to work with people because it's fulfilling in that way, instead of just being, you know, just me in a room with my acoustic guitar. That's also rewarding, but I it's not enough for me to just do that. The trick is that when you're doing both producing and writing for other people and trying to do your own project, you can get pretty, you know, get pretty behind in every arena. So you know, that's part of the reason I haven't tried to tour really or do a lot of focusing on my own stuff, is because I've been doing other things with other people. But I'm learning a lot and I really like it. And ultimately, I want to do all of that for my whole life. So someone like Ryan Tedder, are you familiar with Ryan Tedder?
I'm personally not, but they might
so
be.
So he's the lead singer of One Republic.
Okay, I've heard of them.
One Republic is a, you know, huge band, right?
Yeah.
Huge following, and Ryan Tedder as a producer is also a producer, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like awesome. That would be my ideal. Or even someone like Jack White is a producer. Not a lot of people know that maybe, but like he's also Jack White.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's actually, I mean, Justin Vernon from Bon Iver is also a producer, and he's also in Bon Iver. So I think that's sort of the goal, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm already doing that. So it's great.
So keep
it's more
on.
Just about what'd you say?
I said, so just keep on doing it, man.
Yeah, keep on doing it and trying to make it pay the bills. And if it doesn't, just get a restaurant job.
Well, you know, a lot of people in New York and L.A., from what I hear, have what they do and what they do to make money, so.
Absolutely, and nothing wrong with that, you know? I mean, I did that for the last, you know, for years, and it's a good thing, you know? It's a good thing to be able to, and especially if you can do something you like as your day job, that's cool. That's even cooler, you know?
Yeah. That's a little harder to do, though, I think.
It is harder to do.
So I just got a question that's totally taking us off track with this, but someone said that you've been very into Billy Joel lately.
Yeah.
And they want to know why you're so stoked about Joel's music.
In the middle of the night. I am from Long Island, okay?
Uh-huh.
And half Jewish kid from Long Island, growing up in a Catholic town. I heard a lot of Billy Joel's music growing up, like on classic rock radio, Q104.3
for all you
New Yorkers out there.
For sure.
You know, I thought, I was always like, okay, Billy Joel, you know, whatever. I know all the words of this song, of course. It's Billy Joel. It's just always there. I never even really thought about it. It was just always, you know. And then recently I heard Moving Out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just totally freaked out. I was like, oh my gosh, who is this dude? I mean, I knew it was Billy Joel, but I was like, man, Billy Joel, man, what? And then I started listening to, you know, his greatest hits albums. Okay, and by that, I mean, if you find out that someone has a greatest hits album, it means that these are the best of all of their hits.
Yeah.
Okay? And as soon as you start to really try to write songs, it's like, wow. If you could write a hit, you would be like, you know, it'd be like, well, that's what everyone's trying to do. And then this dude has written so many that he has compilations of just the best of those hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
He's the sixth best-selling American recording artist of all time, and that's insane. That's like up there with Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that it's not about sales, you know. I'm not saying, well, look at that, but I'm just saying I think I never realized how much of his music has reached so many people, and just the fact that he's still like got all this very specific New York, Long Island, you know, social commentary is like totally nuts to me, and I feel like it's I can relate, you know. And the fact that music is so popular, so anyway, yeah, I don't know, I just got into it. Plus, it's so pop.
Yeah.
So it makes me
a lot of it is so catchy. Pop.
Yeah.
By the way, I have about 10 people out telling me that you need to do a Billy Joel cover.
Oh yeah, tell them that I have a little surprise for them, but it's not a cover.
Are you working with Billy Joel?
I'm working with Billy Joel.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm producing Billy Joel's next album.
There you go.
I am not doing that. I am kidding.
They just got really excited. No.
I did too.
It's a fun dream. Who knows? Maybe that can happen. He lives out here.
But remember, you gotta do your own thing, you know? It's like, maybe it wouldn't be that cool working with Billy Joel. You never know. I love Billy Joel as an artist. I wish him the best. And if I got to work with him, maybe it would be cool. Maybe it wouldn't. It probably would be cool. It probably would be cool. Because I'd be like, wow, that's so cool. But you know what I mean? Beyond that.
Yeah, maybe you guys wouldn't see creatively the right way or something.
It's just it's just important to make sure that you are, you know, working, doing your best work within your community that you have, and realize that that is the thing. That's the mountaintop, you know? You're there. It's not like one day Billy Joel's going to call and then you'll get there. That's not the vibe.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. Do we have any ballpark on when we might get, like, a new single from Theo Katzman or anything?
The ballpark is the hard part because there's a lot of things that I'm, you know, a lot of different things I'm working on that could all do well that would change that timeline, you know? I've played a few different bands, and so I'm trying to make sure I keep that up. And again, with the summer shows, I'm going to be a little bit on the road every month. So, you know, I am writing a lot, and I just want to make sure that I have. It's also going to depend on what opportunities come my way in the next few months. You never know. Like, if I have some new music, but it makes sense to release a single, then I'll release a single. But I'd love to have an album's worth of material. And at this point, I do, but I don't have, you know, twice that much. And right. I'd love to pare that down and be like, this is awesome.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that just, we have to wait longer.
We have to wait longer, but And I just want to do it well, you know? I want to do it really well, and I don't want to... I think that's important. I think we live in the age of content, you know, is the most important, and I agree with that, but there's a certain point where, like, I'm not that good of a video editor, you know what I mean? I'm just not.
Speaking of videos, can we talk about the Hard For You video?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was, we had sort of, if I remember correctly, we talked, Leanne Kay and Taylor Stanton are a great music video directing production team and here in New York, and they had approached me about doing a video, and they had a few different concepts for a few different songs. And I like doing Hard For You because I happen to know that it's one of the more listened to songs on my album just from the iTunes breakdowns, you know? And so I know people like it, and I also thought it would be a funny video if we could kind of get this. Somehow Leanne brought up something with, like, I think she brought up having my ex haunt, or me taunt my ex, and I was like, I think maybe I was like, well, what if I were, like, in all the billboards, you know? And then I think she was like, oh my gosh, I know someone who can do that. So they did a great job. The animation technique used is called compositing, and that was done by a girl named Joanna Newman, who is awesome at that. And it was just a really fun video, you know? It's fun to make it, and I thought they did a killer job with it.
Do you have plans for another music video?
Not at the moment, but I have lots of plans for a music video in the sense that I have lots of ideas, you know? It's like, it's hard to do this at the rate that I would love to, because it does take a lot of time, and you know what time is, right? It's money, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Time is money. So, you know, you can only do so much, and so you have to be targeted about what you do. And I'm still an independent artist, so I'm not on a record label. I finance everything myself. And so it takes time, but it's good because it allows you to really prioritize and hopefully do your best work, you know, because you have the only have the resources you have, which I feel like limitation is always a good thing for making smart creative decisions.
Well, you also, I mean, you have a lot of talented friends, so I'm sure that you guys can come up with things without having to get the financial backing from, like, a label and stuff like that.
Right. But no, that has been true in the past, and I'm definitely not complaining about that reality. I don't feel like I just need $100,000 so I can just make a video. Like, not my situation, because I'm a believer in, you know, if I need to do that, I will have the resources for that. Like you said, you know, between friends and talented people, but it is important that everyone feels respected for their time and you know, that they're part of it too, and it's not just, I'm going to go make this guy his thing, and then he's going to use it. You know, like, it's important that it's all mutually beneficial, and it feeds the whole community of people who are doing what, who are helping, you know? That's important.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about, like, Kickstarter kind of thing. Do you...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did Kickstarter, and it was a success, and I was really, really happy that it worked out. That's how I made my first album, and I think I'm going to try to do the next one without Kickstarter, because I've learned a lot more about recording and you know, have just gonna try to do it, but I would use the tool again. You know, I mean, it's good tool for sure.
Well, you know, it could be fun when you do release new music, if you want to have a listening party on side B, and we can listen and we could talk about it after. That I don't want to put you on the spot, but that is totally.
That sounds great.
Awesome. So.
Yeah, I'll have to check with my folks at side C and see if they can accommodate it, you know, but no, I think that'd be great. I think that'd be great.
Cool. Okay, well, I don't want to keep you. We've been doing this for like 40 minutes, so you want to play something for us and then I'll let you
go? I'll play, I mean, you know, I'm not really at the point to play some new stuff, so I thought maybe I'd play one of my songs on my old album.
I'm cool with that.
You guys okay with that?
Yeah, they're good.
Okay, I'm gonna play this one called Brooklyn. Yeah, everybody.
I think we're familiar with Brooklyn.
Wear my LA hat while I do it. Okay.
All right.
Back socks and sneakers and dress shoes in case. Skybound for my hometown to the North Shore on a Sunday. Give a kiss to my lady friend, she's a sweet talk and a sweet taste. Give thanks for my family, thanks to my friends on my face. Oh well, this Long Island is a desolate place. A far cry from my first love, Michigan, sweet talk and a sweet taste. A long way from the long lost dreams that broken on a California freeway. This Brooklyn, oh Brooklyn, you make Detroit feel so far away. And I've only known you a day, I haven't even known you a day. True like New York, but you my life. And I've only known you a day, I haven't even known you a day. The Southbound California. Looked around for a sit-down brunch with all-you-can-eat pound cake. Found a few, maybe six or seven, free coffee and free champagne. I haven't seen such a place. I'm living since my 16th birthday. Yeah, oh well, this Long Island, it's a desolate place. Far cry from my first love, Michigan, sweet talk from my sweet taste. Yeah, far away from my long lost dreams.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I do have two questions about that song. Definitely. And then I'll let you go. Yeah. All right. Somebody just said that the all-you-can-eat pound cake place is real. So they want to know what it is.
It is real. Wait, did they say it is real? Or did they say, is it real?
They claim that they know that it does exist.
This is true.
Okay. So what's the name of this place?
I actually don't know, to be honest. It's like somewhere in Park Slope there are definitely one, maybe even several places that have all you can eat pound cake with their brunch. It's like a selling point, you know. It's like, where are you gonna go to brunch? And it's like, well, this place has
all-you-can-eat pound cake.
Like, refill coffee, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Champagne and all-you-can-eat pound cake.
You know what? I bet you can find that on Yelp.
Yeah, yeah. It's true, though. It's definitely true. I'm glad somebody knows that.
Okay, and then somebody, Esty, actually asked me to ask you what your favorite thing about living in Brooklyn is.
Man, I love Brooklyn. It's, I think I like all the diversity in New York City in general, you know, ethnic diversity, racial diversity, religious diversity. I like being in an area with lots of different kinds of people and cultural, you know, diversity. It's awesome. So I like that. I like being a very small fish in a very large sea. I like that feeling. And I like that Brooklyn has lots of local businesses and it's walkable, you know, and
yeah.
There are trains. I don't have a car. That's cool. You know, Brooklyn is cool for that.
I think most of us city folk do the walking thing.
Yeah, exactly. But I know how to drive, so that is cool.
Me too.
You know,
alright, cool, man. I'm gonna let you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steph. Awesome.
And, you know, I know some of them are gonna be seeing you next Thursday. I will be there in spirit.
Well, I hope you're having a great time in West Palm. That's serious.
You need to book more shows in New York.
I will. Thank you, everyone, for supporting my music, and I hope that you do something fun today and take a deep breath and enjoy yourself and the people you love.
All right, cool. I'll link you when this goes on online.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Peace. Love y'all.
Bye. So, first of all, how amazing is that man, truly? And again, if you just go and see what he's up to now and how everything's going for him, it's really cool to, like, have been here for all of that. Like, this interview was done before he even released his second album. Like, crazy. So, honestly, it would be really fun if I was able to get in touch with him for the next week. And, like, next week's episode could be, like, this was a rewind, and this is the current interview. But if not, it'll come eventually. Theo's down. We've talked about it. He's a good guy, like I said. I don't know what the content will be next week. To be honest, you know, we're all kind of taking it day by day. I'm pretty sure that's how anybody who's listening is dealing right now, too, right? Like, everything is day by day. New York City just started phase one on Monday, so it'll be a week now, but some stores and stuff are still not open, even though, like, technically they're allowed to now, but they're worried about it being too soon and the spread of COVID, which is obviously a real concern, as we're seeing around the country. Like, there are new cases spiking and people are trying to blame protests, but it's not about the protests. And actually, New York State in general, still kind of on the decline despite the fact that we've had a lot of protests. But we'll see in the coming weeks. Obviously, no one knows what the future holds ever. Speaking of that, though, I've been studying tarot like it's my job. Maybe it will be. Who knows? I don't have a job right now, so maybe it'll become my side hustle. I will learn how to read cards and start charging people for it, and I'll become a psychic. It's fine. I don't know if you guys remember when I interviewed a psychic a few weeks ago, we talked about how everyone has a little bit of psychic ability. Like, people just call it different things, like intuition or a mother's, like, the sense or whatever. But yeah, so I don't ever think that I'm psychic in any way. However, some things you can't, like, explain. And I've done a couple readings for friends, like, for fun. And everything that I've seen in, like, the cards and the spreads and everything that I do resonates with the people I've done them for, including myself. Like, I do readings, like, I'll ask it a question or whatever, you know, ask a question as I'm messing with my cards, and then the reading comes out and I'm like, oh, damn, okay. So, who knows? But I have three decks now. I have a book in addition to the books that come along with the card decks. I don't know. I'm into it. It's fun. And it's certainly something to do to pass the time anyway. Life sucks right now. I don't know what else to say about that. Stuff's still closed. I mean, I know things are slowly starting to open up. One of my best friends just moved. She finally got to move. She was supposed to move in March, and she finally got here last week. So after she self-quarantines, hopefully we can actually, like, meet up and do things, because she's one of the few people who will actually, like, hang out with me. I know a lot of people, but it's different to actually, like, spend time with people. I don't know. I'm sure you guys can relate to that, too. You know, you have a huge circle of friends, but how many of them do you actually spend time with? She is one of them. Hopefully. I mean, I don't know. She just got here. So, we hang out when she visits, but that's because she visits. I have no idea. I'm babbling a little bit. But God, it would be nice for things to go back to some kind of semblance of normalcy. I miss, like, going out, like, of my house, even. Just, go, like, I miss working, but that's not something that's going to change. I don't have a job right now, and that's not necessarily, like, COVID's fault. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe it is. I don't know. I was working when we got under quarantine, so who knows? But I mean, you know, the podcasts take up a lot of time. I just wish I could make more money than, like, 1 cent per listen. And maybe one day I will, but not right now. So, yeah, and I am just outraged by all of the things that are happening in our country and in the world, and I can't get into it on here. I mean, if you want to see my opinions or if you want to speak to me directly, you can see it on my social media. I don't think that I have the right voice to express it. I think I explained that on the last episode I did, which was the interview with Jeremy Stoll, who is a wonderful human being, by the way. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm not the person to speak up, but at the same time, does that mean I'm enabling by not speaking up? I don't know. I'm not sure what to do, so that's why I'm choosing not to do it on here, because this has also not ever really been a super political podcast in any way, so. But I'm disappointed in my fellow Americans. Well, a lot of them, I guess, not all of them. And I'm just baffled by so many things, and angered, and frustrated, and sad. And, yeah, I feel like a lot of you probably are too. So, anyway, I don't know, on that note, I guess I should probably wrap up, but I do want to ask you, if you have not already, to please follow the socials, Side B Radio on Twitter and Facebook, and Side B Podcast on Instagram. Not that Instagram gets used all that much, but, you know, gotta have branding. Also, if you could take a second to make sure you're subscribed to your preferred platform. I am streaming on like 9 different platforms, possibly more. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, iHeart, and others that I don't even know the names of, because Anchor is that awesome that they just distribute your podcast to like everybody ever. So, I love Anchor, and that's what I use to upload all of my podcasts. If you're a fan of Disney, you could follow Radio Mickey. That's my Disney podcast with my friend Joyce. And if you like 90s pop, like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears and New Kids on the Block, which will be this week's episode, What's the Deal with This Pop Life is the name of the show that I do with my friend Stephanie. Because we just have to be that cool that me and one of my closest and oldest friends have the same name. But it's fine. It's a thing. It's always been a thing. We've known each other since we were like 12 and 13, so. Yeah. I want to thank you very much for listening. Again, I hope you really enjoyed this episode and this peek into, like, a time capsule in the life of Theo Katzman. And I hope, if you do hear my doggy snoring right now, I apologize, but he's a French bulldog, and that's what he does. So, I will see you guys next week. Please be safe. Don't do anything stupid. If you do not feel like being safe, just if you're not going to just stay home or whatever, just be smart. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. Be healthy. Be kind to one another. Party on. I don't know. I'll talk to you guys next week.